Cue the talent, 3. Hey, I said cue the talent. 2, and 1.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
Going down, everyone. It's time for The Hype, episode number 135. Thank you guys for joining us. We're still doing our social distancing, so you know we're putting out these episodes, so we appreciate you guys tuning in. We've got a juicy episode all about Jordan. I know you guys watched the first two episodes of The Last Dance. I think without sports, it's one of the only things that was on TV to look forward to as a sports fan, so we're going to discuss that. We're also going to talk about Panini redemptions. There was some news that came out on Twitter about expired redemptions, so we're going to talk about that as far as our thoughts. You know, this kind of changes the whole scope of how Panini does business, so we're going to talk about strategies on that and kind of what you want to do with some expired products. So thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to be live today. We've got some Gypsy Queen that's almost sold out. We got a Bowman Prospect Palooza break, and this Friday we've got Definitive Baseball, high-end baseball coming out. We're going to do it by the box. We may do a case break as well, but it's going to be super sought after, and then the boxes on the secondary market are going to be going way up because it may be one of the last products for a while. So I'm definitely excited for that. Dan, what's going down, dude?
Chilling.
Getting DoorDash.
I been doing it like once a week. I know I said before, I don't think it's a great idea to do it. I think it's probably a good way of getting the corona, but once a week, give yourself a little treat and not have to cook. Not that I'm doing a lot of cooking, but it seems like the prices have gone up a little bit. But, you know, you got to do it. You got to support those local restaurants that can't have the patrons come in. So that's basically how I justify it.
What's your bagel bite count up to now?
No bagel bites.
No.
No Hot Pockets. But what we have, we've done them twice in like the last 2 weeks, and they are absolutely bomb. Crescent Dogs.
What? Where do you get that from? Is it frozen?
You make them.
You make them yourself.
Yeah.
You don't know how to cook, bro.
Dude, if you can't make a crescent dog,
you just buy a crescent roll and you put a hot dog in the middle of it.
No, you buy. Yeah. You can't put the whole hot dog. The crescent rolls are tiny. So you got to cut the hot dogs up and then you wrap the crescent roll.
Like you get the dough for the crescent roll and bake it.
Just the ones that come in a tube, dude.
Yeah.
Tube. It's pretty easy. Anybody could make a crescent dog.
Pillsbury hot dogs is what they're saying in the chat.
Yeah, but they are, they're delicious and they're terrible for you. But you know, we got to
do social distancing.
We got to adapt. That's how I'm adapting, is by eating crescent dogs.
Sebastian in the chat saying tonight is shrimp and Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. Fried Brussels sprouts is amazing. Love it. Love it.
That is the worst vegetable.
No, it's one of the best.
Actually, that and eggplant, those are just bad. And I'm a big fan of vegetables. Everybody knows in the chat. I love some veggies.
Yeah, you're a kale guy.
But eggplant and Brussels sprouts is where I draw the line. Those are unacceptable.
Eggplant and Brussels sprouts. You don't do eggplant parm?
No, dude. You do chicken parm.
Chicken parm
is how you rock that scene.
Well, let's get into the Jordan conversation. So you watched the show. What were your initial thoughts of the first two episodes of The Last Dance?
Well, I mean, again, I was briefly having a conversation with you beforehand. I think the reason why this series is as big as it is out of the gate is where everybody's just starved for new entertainment. There's only so much stuff you can watch on Netflix, and I think people just really want some sports. So the Jordan coming out at a good time, a lot of eyeballs on it, a lot of people talking about it, trending on Twitter, all that good stuff. But we're not seeing anything or learning anything that we didn't really know already.
Yeah, but you know what? We were juniors, sophomores in high school during the time period that they're going over the 97-98 season. And if you go backwards to learn about 84, I mean, I was 2 years old. So I actually did not till yesterday know that Jordan won a Olympics in 1984 with Chris Mullin, Patrick Ewing. I didn't know that. So that was pretty cool for me. And I think a lot of us can kind of relate with that. Now, the guys that have been reporting that are on that show that are, you know, like the Skip Baylesses that are talking and all these talking heads, they probably remember it because they were in their 20s and 30s when it was happening. I think for our generation, which speaks to a lot of us as card collectors, because we've all kind of living the nostalgia right now, it was something that we're kind of like learning about. So I want to ask you this before we move on. And if anybody wants to talk about some of the stuff that was in the show in the chat, feel free, or any of the cards, because we're going to relate this back to cards as well. So if you're in the live chat and you'd like to talk something about The Last Dance, feel free to contribute. Dan is a LeBron over Jordan guy. Has any of this, I know we're only two episodes in, has any of this swayed the way you feel?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
No.
No. So you still think LeBron James is the greatest of all time?
Physically. Just
physically.
Physically.
So there's more, an asterisk
just,
there.
No, he's just physically more talented. He's bigger. He's stronger.
So you're saying he struck the lottery on genetics over Jordan?
Sure. You could say that. But I'm a LeBron fan. I like LeBron. This isn't going to change. What the only thing this is changing is maybe I didn't know that Scottie Pippen was so grossly underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on the Bulls organization. I think you can kind of point the fingers at maybe his agent may have steered him in the wrong direction. You could also, he actually talked about it a little bit. He wanted to make sure he was going to be financially secure going forward in case he got injured or something like that. So he signed a 7-year extension for like $18 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make an argument that if he doesn't do that extension, the Bulls may not go on that run that they went on. Because they had resources to put the Steve Kerrs and the John Paxtons and the Horace Grants and all those guys, Rodman, all those guys around Jordan.
Right, right. Well, they were already worried about the contracts during that season. That's why it's called The Last Dance, right? They knew that was their last hurrah. 5 championships going for the 6th one, which was just insane, you know, to think about and how that whole thing developed, you know, with Pippen and Jordan. And the fact that they had those three-peats and stuff like that, which is crazy. But you switch to Scottie Pippen. Let's go back and let's dissect why you think LeBron is better than Jordan. Now, LeBron's been in more finals, correct? We can put that down as a fact.
Okay. I mean, again, and this is my opinion, I remember watching LeBron play when he was in high school. I think I was basically just getting out of high school at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the hype that he was getting. So I feel my whole adult life, I basically have grown up watching the greatness of LeBron James my whole adult life. I don't remember. I remember seeing highlights of Jordan. I remember watching some finals of Jordan, but like LeBron has just been in my life the whole time. That has to skew my opinion of who is the best. And I've watched every single thing that LeBron James has accomplished as a basketball player.
Yeah, and I can see that. And that's why it didn't take long for me to sway my opinion. I honestly, and I'll say it first, and you guys have heard me on other podcasts, I was a LeBron number one guy. I mean, there's no question it's one and two. I think that's not even up for debate. I mean, you can kind of throw in, you know, some people will throw in Larry Bird. Some people will throw in Bill Russell. Some people will even throw in Oscar Robertson. But I think the if you pulled most people, one and two is going to be LeBron and Jordan, I think, for grace of all time. But before the documentary, I was leaning more on LeBron's side. But it rehashed a lot of that stuff that I watched as a kid. I actually had the 72 win poster growing up, and I'm on the West Coast, so that's how much of an impact Jordan was, where I, as a kid, asked my mom to buy that for me. I had a Dennis Rodman jersey because I didn't want to wear Jordans. Everybody else had Jordan, but I liked the Bulls because I liked the whole thing. I liked Pippen. I liked Rodman. I liked Jordan. I thought it was spectacular at the time. So I had a Dennis Rodman jersey. It actually was a jersey that you could flip on the other side. It was black, and then on the inside it was red, so it was a two-color jersey, right? So, you know, it made it out to the West Coast where I was, you know, into the Bulls. But I think, like you said, you watch the physical specimen of LeBron. You see some of those teams that LeBron's taken to the finals, like the early Cavs. You know, I mean, obviously the Heat teams were pretty talented. But, you know, or some of the early Cavs teams, some of the teams that were injured that he still got to the finals. It's hard to say, but I think watching the point I'm trying to make here is actually watching some of the finesse that Jordan had. And that just 100% will to win, that he was the number one guy. I don't think LeBron has that. I don't think LeBron has passed the ball so many times in those big situations, or Jordan would not pass the ball. Jordan would put the team on his shoulders. And I think that's where Jordan and Kobe are similar, is they have that kind of killer instinct. And Jordan has little pieces of everybody in the history of the NBA to make him who he was. But just the finesse moves, the way that the guy hung in the air for so long, to me, rehashing that through this documentary, I'm like, he's the GOAT. And he never lost a final. So, and obviously this argument happens every week, every day, every year.
I mean, there,
and it'll go on forever.
There's also no doubt, though, that those early, those Bulls teams had far more talent. I mean, far more talent than the early Cavaliers teams.
Right.
I mean, you were looking at, it's Scottie Pippen, and who was pretty good number two there. Probably Scottie Pippen at that point was a top 10 player in the league, if not a top 5 player in the league. If you put who did LeBron have? Eric Snow. Eric Snow. At no point you can say Eric Snow was a top 10 player in the league. At no point you can probably say Eric Snow is a top 50 player in the league.
Right. But would Scottie Pippen even be in the conversation if he was on the Clippers?
Scottie Pippen was look at his stats. He was really, really good. And he would have had even better stats if he wasn't on a team with Jordan.
But he went to the Blazers afterwards, right? I don't have his stats in front of me.
He went to the Rockets for 1 year. It may have been a trade. And then he was on the Blazers for like 4 years, and I think he went back to the Bulls.
I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that if he was on a different team, we wouldn't be talking about Scottie Pippen these days. Kind of like, you know, you can make the argument as a Niner fan, you could say that Joe Montana wouldn't be anything without Jerry Rice and vice versa. You know, but I think Jordan would still be Jordan without Pippen. Without Jordan.
You could say that about any, you could say Steph Curry wouldn't be Steph Curry without Klay Thompson.
But Steph Curry would still be a star. Jordan would still be a star. I'm not convinced that Pippen would be a star without Jordan.
Pippen would have been, I'm trying to think who else was in that draft. I think Pippen would have been undoubtedly the best player in that draft.
Well,
and you can look that up.
Granted, he was 33 when he left the Bulls, but he averaged 14 points, and then 12 points, then 11 points, then 10 points, then 10 points, then 5 points. Granted, riddled with injury, didn't play a whole lot of full seasons at that point, but he didn't average 22 like he did in 93, 94. He didn't.
But what did he do when he was on the Blazers?
When he was on the Blazers, he averaged 12 points.
Yeah.
And he shot, let's see his field goal percentage. He shot 451 from the 451.
I mean, what are we basing? You have to score to be a great player. Because if we're basing it on that, then Draymond's not a great player,
right?
Because I think there's some definitely strong comparisons you can have, and people are not going to like this, to the type of player Scottie Pippen was and the type of player Draymond Green is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Pippen's a more established scorer. I could make the argument that Draymond Green might be a better defender.
Draymond Green's one of those guys who goes out and does whatever he needs to do to make his team better. If Draymond needed to be a scorer, he could probably score more points. But I also feel the same way about Pippen. If Pippen needed to score more points, he could have.
Who would you rather have it? Let's compare this. Who would you rather have in their prime, Dwayne Wade or Scottie Pippen?
Dwayne Wade or Scottie Pippen?
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go.
Because that'll dissect the whole team. I mean, that was.
I'd probably go Dwayne Wade, but it's close.
Because Dwayne Wade won a World Series, won a finals,
and without LeBron, and he may have won an MVP. I don't know, but he. But at one point, there was no doubt that Dwayne Wade was one of the best players in the league.
Right. So you can kind of say that the championships LeBron won, he had a better team than the Bulls.
That the two that he won in Miami,
he had Wade Bosch and Ray Allen.
Those teams were probably better on paper than the Bulls teams.
So that I think that's what's skewed me. And believe me, it's not. And like everybody's saying in the chat, it's a generational conversation.
But was Chris Bosch and Dwayne Wade in their prime at that time?
I don't know so much about Bosch, but I think Wade at least.
I don't think they were. I think they were on the back end of their prime for sure.
Yeah. Well, LeBron was in his prime.
LeBron, another longevity with LeBron. LeBron's still in his prime.
Well, maybe.
No, he is. look what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, yeah, you're gonna say. Well, he has Anthony Davis now.
Yeah, he does.
He does. And Steph Curry had Kevin Durant.
Not in the first one.
Yeah, but they won a couple with him.
I mean, the X factor, the Bulls, that you could say that they got Rodman. Rodman was a huge piece. I mean, Rodman was already a champion as well coming to the Bulls. So he can't, I know he had all the crazy stuff going on with, Madonna and all this stuff in his personal life that was going on, and he wasn't the same guy he was in the Pistons, but that's a huge piece. The guy was averaging like 20 rebounds at one point. I mean, it's a huge piece of the puzzle to have. So you can kind of compare him to Draymond Green,
yeah,
in a sense.
He was the best rebounder in the game,
mm-hmm,
at that point.
Yeah, and we also forget about Tony Kukoc, too. I mean, that was a guy that was like the Ray Allen of the Bulls, right?
Yeah, he was not a Ray Allen. He could shoot a little bit.
He could shoot, that's what I'm saying, Maybe not as skillful at three as Ray Allen would be, but that's a guy that if Jordan and Pippen are covered, you can kick out to Kukoc. I think Horace Grant was on that team. I mean, you had Steve Kerr too. So, I mean, but both those teams were good.
I would actually be surprised. I bet Kukoc didn't average more than 15 points in a year.
Tony Kukoc?
I bet he did not.
And he left too. He went to a couple teams afterwards as well.
I don't remember. I actually think that he stayed with the. I don't think he played that long.
No, he did. He went to Philly. And then he went to Atlanta, and then he went to Milwaukee. So let's see, points. He actually averaged in 98-99, he averaged 18 points.
18 points?
18 points.
In
98-99? 98-99.
Okay. Well, Jordan wasn't there.
Right. 97-98, he averaged 30. Actually, in 94-95, he averaged 15 points.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, he wasn't a guy that was needed to be a scorer on the team.
No, he wasn't. He's a role player.
I mean, actually, he probably was third in scoring.
He probably was
on those teams, because it was like basically Jordan, Pippen,
Kukoc.
And then Kukoc, and then probably a bunch of guys who put in like 6 points, 10 points, 8 points.
And he averages, as a Bull, he averaged 29 minutes. So he was, pretty much starter status. I mean, obviously situational, he was pulled out because he would probably average closer to 40, but he averaged 29 minutes. So he was pretty much a starter.
And I think late in that run, I think they had BJ Armstrong. And he probably was putting up maybe 10 points, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this was actually way before the show. This was a recent March 22nd PSA 10 Gem 10 Jordan 86-87 card sold for $48,000. $48,000 for a PSA 10 Jordan. Now, the pop report's not huge on the PSA 10s. It's very hard to get a PSA 10, but that's some big money, and it's crazy how many Jordan cards right now are selling. Ryan Cracknell actually dropped us some knowledge. I asked him today, got back to me right away, so props out to Trader Cracks at Beckett's. There's 13,233 different Jordan cards on the marketplace. So that includes, and that's unscientifically, meaning give a few here and there.
No.
So let's just say 14.
The exact number.
14,000. And there's 176 baseball cards, which is actually way more than I thought. I would have said like 50. But 13,000 basketball Michael Jordan cards. I mean, that's crazy. And they haven't really been making any in the last, what, 5 years after the Upper Deck lost their. I mean, they've been making some Goodwin cards, I guess. But after Upper Deck couldn't even make any college basketball cards, we didn't see any Jordan basketball cards. So that's crazy. That's a crazy amount of cards. And a lot of them are going for 10 to 20 times the amount they were going for prior to the pandemic, prior to this time period. Jordan is probably the number one athlete in sports cards right now as far as gains. His cards are just absolutely jumped through the roof right now. I think people are not seeing basketball, and people aren't seeing Zion dunk. They're not seeing, you know, Ja Morant do anything crazy. So if you're going to put some money somewhere, you're going to try to put it in the best, right? So that's what you're also seeing some LeBron going up. We had a question in the chat. Would you rather have a LeBron James rookie or a Michael Jordan rookie, Dan?
I mean, you can't, me personally or for an investment purpose.
I guess personally,
I'd go LeBron James. I've already said, I love me some King James. There ain't no doubt. I ain't going back. I don't care about no documentary.
I ain't changing.
I knew this was going to happen. I knew there was going to be a lot of people, not saying that you basically flipped on King James, which it sounds like you did. It was going to happen. It's whatever is currently in somebody's face at that moment. They're going to be like, man, Jordan is pretty good. Maybe he is better than LeBron James. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to flip on my boy King.
Well, King's book isn't completed yet. So, I mean, we got to look a career for career. As well, but right now,
it's actually right in the thick of it. I mean,
You think he's got another 10 years left?
No,
the guy's played for like 20 years already.
Not 10 years, but he had to be the favorite to bring his team to the finals this year.
Well, he was.
Not gonna say that they were gonna win the finals.
Yeah, I mean, in the West, they were their favorite.
But they had to be the favorite to get in there, and I can see them being the favorite next year, and maybe even the year after that. They are right now the best team in the West.
They are, no doubt. I can't even disagree with it on that. And
you're talking about a guy who was a rookie in 2003-04 and is still the leader of his team. Almost 20 years later.
But he missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he did.
But he went to the finals like 8 years in a row.
He went to the finals 8 years in a row. I mean, whatever. I mean, either it's an argument that is never going to go away. And
you're either going to be, and
like I said, there's probably going to be more. There was already more Jordan people for this conversation before the documentary. There's going to be more after, and that's it. I'm going to stick true to King James.
Well, and here's my thing. If I was buying a card, and I have five different LeBron, we do have five different LeBron chromes. We don't have a Jordan. I want a Jordan because I don't have one. But if I was looking at it from an investment standpoint, I think right now the Jordan cards are super high, where LeBron could go up, I think. I mean, the guy's still playing. The guy could still do more to increase his value. You know, you look at guys like Brady, where 5 years ago, we thought Brady's contenders cards were never going to go up. He gets to the point where he's got the 6 championships. And now, I mean, it's just crazy what Brady cards are selling for. So I think like the being able to get the card, watch the games and stats and stuff like that, I think I'm invested. I'm going to buy LeBron. But
I mean, I honestly think there is so many people who are like Jordan, 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 Jordan. There's nothing that LeBron could have done coming into the league to dethrone Jordan.
Right.
What could he have possibly done? Like if LeBron basically goes through and wins 4 titles in a row, you're still going to have people go, yeah, he's no Jordan though. Jordan never lost one.
Well, that's the Montana Brady argument too, where Brady's got 6 and Montana has 4, but Brady lost some. So Montana's a goat because you definitely have opinions.
Appreciate Steve's opinion, but to say LeBron doesn't have it, how does he not have it? What's the it? What do you mean he doesn't have it?
Jordan quit the establishment to.
This argument happens and it like reverts back to like we just everybody's like LeBron's a scrub. LeBron just does. Yeah, he's lost some finals. Yeah, but he went to 8 straight finals. And basically was the best player on his team every time. And early in his career, didn't even have anybody who was even close to being an all-star on his team.
Right. But he also didn't leave a team either. Jordan didn't. So that's
Jordan left the team?
Well, he quit and then he went to the Wizards a couple years later because of the front office. He didn't. You know, like, you know, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Not 2, not 3.
So the worst thing that LeBron's ever done was make that stupid show.
Yeah,
that stupid thing where he was like, I'm taking my talents to Long Beach. That was the dumbest thing. Whoever told him to do that pushed him in the wrong direction. It was a terrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
And it ruined his image. It made people, it went from people enjoy watching LeBron James and maybe rooting for him to absolutely hating him.
Right. Well, because I think it was so important that he was and that's why he went back. I think he tried to right his wrongs there, but he was born. It's like he was born to play for that team. He was born in that area. He went to that team. He struggled through some of those finals and things like that. Now, maybe the front office didn't give him the right players. Maybe they weren't out there drafting the right players and stuff like that. But to do it on TV in front of your team, it would almost be like you know, saying something to your mom when you're leaving. You're like broadcasting that you're leaving your mom's house and screw you. That's kind of what it did to Cavalier fans because that was their born and bred local boy that's going to bring them a championship.
He did.
He came back and he
brought him a championship.
No, and they forgave him, I think, for that. But I think during the time with the burning of the jerseys, they were putting their blood, sweat, and tears to those LeBron teams, and it wasn't happening. So some of the notes that I wrote from the show, we'll go back into some of the cards. What about the 90s swag, man? What about the oversized coats that people were wearing? I mean, that was a fashion thing that I barely remember, but you see it on some cards. Even LeBron's rookie year, his card, he has an oversized sports coat. Do you think you could ever rock the oversized sports coat, Dan?
Sure.
You think you could do it?
Yeah, that was a good era. That was a good era for clothes.
What?
It was. It was, and they especially when it came to the basketball shorts.
Yeah.
Great era. Great era. The way it should be. Bring it back.
Where it was just a little bit longer, not showing the ball throw.
We weren't seeing the upper thigh like we're seeing today or back in the, you know, 60s, early 70s.
And I also have noticed, too, that there's a couple distinctions. There's a couple signature looks for Michael Jordan. The backwards Kangol, which I think is only worn by him and Samuel Jackson, but I think he's kind of owned it a little bit more. And they didn't show it yet, but the Hitler mustache, I think, is owned by Jordan, too. Because Jordan was like, I don't care about a Hitler mustache. I'm Michael Jordan. I'm going to bring it back in the Hanes commercials. But the Kangol backwards I noticed yesterday. I noticed the Corvette pulling in the Corvette. You know, obviously there was a lot of Jerry Krause talk about him being small and stuff, and it was just a different era. I don't think you'd see Draymond Green going up to Lakeup or Myers or Gruber and say, "Hey, you know, try to dunk, you idiot." You know, I don't think that would happen nowadays.
Yeah, it's not a good way. You don't really want to piss off your bosses, right? But I guess if you're Michael Jordan, you can do whatever you want.
And how do you go? And that's what I want to ask about the show is, how do you go from winning 5 championships as a GM, and then you bring in your all-star coach, your coach who's the most popular coach in the league, and say, "This is your last year"? How do you do that? How do you do that with a straight face and go, "This is your last year"? The guy just won 5 championships.
You do it because of ego. He wanted to break that team down and show that he was the guy who was putting together the championships. He even said it. He said that, you know, in the documentary, he was saying that, like, organizations win championships, not players, which is the craziest comment ever, because, I mean, I get the front office will do some things, maybe make some moves, make some trades, do some signings and stuff like that to better the team. But those people in the front office aren't running. They're not running up and down the court dunking the ball.
Now, he may have thought that he built the team, but what was funny was that he actually kind of contradicted himself. So, yeah, he drafted Jordan, right? He drafted Jordan in 84. But he said if he had the first pick, he'd be going Olajuwon.
Everybody would have went Olajuwon.
Right. So he
and that was another thing. And I've also talked about this before. Like, the culture in basketball changes. At that point, in order to be a dominant player in the league, you needed to be a big man. So big men had more value than, you know, guys who were 6'1", 6'2", 6'5", 6'6". It was all about being that big guy.
Oh, and Rod Thorne drafted MJ, so he didn't even get credit for that. So there you go. So the year before Krause came in. So, yeah, how is he even going to have an ego then if he didn't even draft Jordan? But my point was they got lucky by having the third pick that year. Because if they would have had the first pick, they would have basically got, you know, got Olajuwon. And they may not have been in the same situation.
I also think the consensus, though, throughout the whole league, if anybody had the first overall pick, they were going to go with Olajuwon.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, think about that luck. If you had the first pick, you get Olajuwon, you don't have a Bulls dynasty. Whoever had the third pick gets Jordan. Like, let's just say the Rockets get Jordan. And the Rockets become what we know of the Bulls now. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how a GM can be like, it was all me, in a sense where you got to get lucky. I mean, yeah, if Jordan was predicted to go 20th overall and you swooped him at third, then you can be like, okay, yeah, you know, I was me. Kind of like Trent Baalke and Alden Smith, you know,
you don't even know like what would have happened though, because it looked like both the Rockets and the Blazers, who I think were the ones who drafted Bowie, they were obviously looking for big guys.
Mm-hmm.
That was the NBA. They needed 7-footers.
Well,
you don't even know where Jordan would have fell in the draft.
Right, exactly.
Because there's a chance that, let's say, the Bulls take Olajuwon. Well, maybe the Blazers, they still go Bowie. And then the Rockets were going to be third. What, maybe they still need a big man, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they don't go Jordan.
Right.
Maybe Jordan falls to, you know, the 10th pick or maybe 15th pick. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, look where Steph Curry fell.
Look where Kobe Bryant fell.
Right. Yeah. The Kobe Bryant was what, 18th overall?
There was, I was looking at that draft again because I always like going back to that draft because, Warriors, man, you're
oh, Fuller.
but there was another guy who was in that draft who I was like, what was wrong with the Warriors?
Right.
Like, what did they see in Todd Fuller?
Yep.
Not to hate on Todd Fuller, but what did you see in him?
I don't know.
And it's not like workout. And it's also not like the Warriors were stacked at that point with talent. They just had nowhere to put a Kobe Bryant.
Well, I think and Max said it in the chat perfectly was that no one wanted to draft high school kids back then because they felt like they weren't ready. They needed to be groomed. Some GMs were like, we need college guys. They're more ready than men, you know. Whether, you know, you got to kind of take your blinders off on that and realize that this guy is probably one of the best generational talents that ever could be. And look what happens. So
what was that, the 97, 98 draft,
96, 97
draft?
96, 97, maybe. Man, I don't have the stats in front of
there
me.
There was, I mean, I went through that draft and I was like, man, I'm like, Kobe, I want to say Kobe fell to somewhere like 13. I think it was like 13th. But it was like insane.
Yep. Lakers got Kobe from the Hornets by trading Vlade Divac. That's tough.
But who was, and then right after, because Todd Fuller was a couple picks before that, who was after Kobe Bryant?
Who was drafted after him?
There was probably a couple, like maybe not the pick right after Kobe, but I was flipping through it last night and I was like, man, that player is pretty damn good too.
It was a 1996 NBA draft, to be clear. Allen Iverson was number one that year, by the way. Peja Stojakovic was drafted 14th by the Kings. Steve Nash.
Steve Nash!
15th on the Suns. I know.
Yeah. So you're telling me Todd Fuller over Kobe Bryant or Steve Nash?
That was a phenomenal draft.
And why would you not, like, I mean, Steve Nash, Santa Clara University, played his ball in the Bay Area. His college ball. Why would you not?
Must have really needed a center, which was funny because Eric Dampier went right before Todd Fuller and the Warriors wound up getting him anyway. But you're looking at that draft, before we move on to Panini Redemptions, Allen Iverson, first overall, Marcus Camby, second, Stephon Marbury, fourth, Ray Allen, fifth, Antoine Walker, sixth, Kobe Bryant, 13th, Steve Nash, 15th, Jermaine O'Neal, 17th. Pretty good draft. I mean, geez. But AI, number one. And then Kobe all the way down to 13. So there was Lorenzen Wright, Kerry Kittle, Samaki Walker, Eric Dampier, Todd Fuller, and Vitali Potapenko that were drafted before Kobe Bryant's.
I would have taken Vitali, whoever
Potapenko.
I would have gone with him over Todd Fuller.
Yep. I like this tweet that was sent out because I was kind of thinking the same thing, that Pat Riley looks like he's ready to give the order to hang a rival Coke kingpin out of a helicopter. Man, that guy, even with less hair, still has the same slick back look. I swear to God, that guy must use the most product on anybody. And his hair literally looks like it's wet all the time, just 100% of the time. It's crazy.
Who do you like better as a coach? Phil Jackson or Pat Riley?
Well, who has more championships?
Who?
Probably Phil Jackson.
Man. Oh, man. I like Pat Riley. I liked his like demeanor on the, I mean, they both have kind of that, like, I don't give a crap demeanor on the sideline when they were coaching. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Pat Riley, just him and, who's the guy for the pit? Chuck Daly. I liked him too.
Yeah. Who had more championships? Did TJ know that one offhand?
Did TJ know?
Between Phil Jackson and,
Who had more championships, Phil Jackson or Pat Riley? Phil Jackson.
Yeah, because they had the Lakers, right? So,
Phil Jackson came and won some championships with Kobe and Shaq, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because Phil Jackson have 10 titles. He played. Yeah, where he was on the.
They both played, right?
Knicks. That's right. Yeah, Pat Riley played as well.
Well, and I know that's why Phil Jackson was brought in as an assistant by Krause. I think Krause tries to take ownership of that because he was like brought in, one of his first jobs was an assistant and became the coach, right? So that's why they were talking about Krause trying to replace him. Like, oh, now I gotta do better. I gotta be known as the guy that moves from Phil Jackson, gets another guy in there, and we still win. So I think it was kind of like an ego thing for him, but. But yeah, we'll be discussing this as you know, more episodes come out. We'll have C-Rat talk about this as well. This was kind of an impromptu show. I was watching this Last Dance last night. I was like, hey, we got to have a podcast on this. This is such a great topic. It's such a pivotal point in our hobby right now. But I wanted to talk about Panini Redemption. So this was kind of let out on Twitter. Beckett's run the article now. But there was somebody asking about an issue they had with a redemption that was expired. So up until this point, we were telling everybody, hey, Panini honors expired redemptions. Don't worry. You know, we pull expired redemptions in older product. If you break with us, we do a lot of big mixers where we have older product, where we'll go back and do a 2012 product that has Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, stuff like that. So we always tell people, hey, they'll honor it. So this was just discovered on Twitter, not made, you know, not really made as a public blog post or anything like that. I mean, granted, we're in, you know, lockdown time, so that could be why. But this person was asking why they can't honor the redemption. So Panini's customer service Twitter said, hello, we are no longer accepting expired redemptions. Another person jumped in and said, wait, what? Is this an official policy change? Because that's extremely disappointing to hear. Panini CSM then confirmed and said, yes, this is an official policy change. So as it stands right now, they are not honoring expired redemptions. So I don't know if they're going to have anything put in a place where you can go to the National and enter a drawing, stuff like that. You can get points. I have no idea. But at this point, they were the last company to do it. So I'll make that very clear. Upper Deck doesn't do it. Topps doesn't do it. I've heard rumors that Topps, a day after, doesn't accept it. So Panini was still doing it. So my thing is, it does suck, right? It sucks that it's, you know, they're not going to expire stuff that's an unopened product. Now, if you already have your redemption turned in before the time and they still haven't got it, they're still going to honor it. But my whole thing was, is I think we needed the other companies to step up and match them, because at this point, Panini was going so many years not doing it. And then they're looking over at their competitors and going, well, they're not doing it either. Screw it. This is a money. This is lost money for us to keep doing this. And is it going to, are people going to stop buying because we don't honor expired redemptions? Probably not. Right. What's your thoughts on it, Dan?
All right. So I always said it was great that Panini honored expired redemptions. Actually, Panini was so good about expired redemptions, they were honoring expired redemptions from when they, from products that they didn't even own.
Right.
At one point, they were playoff. If you had like an old playoff redemption, they were like honoring those at one point. It was crazy. I knew it was going to be a matter of time before they were like, what's the point of doing this? Our competitors don't do it. They're honestly blowing through the product anyway.
Right.
Like right now, there isn't a product that they release that's in the sports categories that is not instantly allocated from distributors and instantly sold out.
Yeah, if there's any time to do it, which is crazy during a pandemic, if there's any time to make this policy change, it's probably right now.
They, you know, honestly, I can see the logistics of holding on to all the, and the logistics of holding on to it and the financial issues of holding on to all these redemptions doesn't make sense.
Right.
It absolutely, for them, from a business, not for the consumer, but for a business, for Panini, does not make sense. If there was another manufacturer that was honoring expired redemptions, Upper Deck or Topps, to name the big ones, then I don't think Panini would have changed their policy.
Right, because they would have been like, you know, they don't want to be behind it.
But I think because they knew that Topps and Upper Deck are never going to change your policy.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to do it. Why should they still honor?
We were told, and I don't know the exact terminology, but we were told, this was several years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, from Upper Deck that it's illegal to honor expired redemptions. And I couldn't understand why, but they said that they've done some digging on the law of it all, and it's illegal for them to honor expired redemptions. Now, at that time, it was redemptions that were applicable to their older licensing. So like NFL redemptions, now they don't have the NFL license anymore. So maybe that's what it is. So I wasn't really clear on that, but we were really shut down quick when we were asking about it at the summit 1 year. So, it, you know, what I want to see as a hobbyist, as a consumer, what I want to see, and I don't know if this will happen because it's a lot of extra work, I would like the online retailers and Panini to put a system into place where those products that are being sold, we need to know whose redemption's in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is going to help the consumers decide if they're going to buy that product, that older product, or not.
But the issue is that they're not. So we need to clarify expired redemptions, because I think there is some confusion here. I think when you get a redemption and you put it in through Panini's portal on their website, it's in their system.
Yes.
it's not expired at that time.
No, it's not expired.
Say it at that point, once it's in, you just got to get it in before the expiration date. It's not like, oh, well, this expires in October 2020, and I've put it in like maybe a year before that. It's still valid.
Yeah, as long as you get it in by the expiration
date. Yeah, it's not going to expire while it's in the process of getting filled. Now, they may never get that player to sign, but they will do something as long as it's entered in before their expiration date. They will either give you a replacement or figure something out. It's not going to expire while it's pending fulfillment.
Right. Exactly. And that's where I think us as consumers, and actually I'll put up the hat on of the seller, I think we need to make that clear to our customers what possibly could be a redemption in that product. Now that we know that Panini's not honoring expired redemptions. So if somebody's buying a 14, 15 Prism product from me, you know, or us, or better yet, Blowout and DA at Steel City, the guys that are selling more online wax, there should be something where people can look and really make a determination as if they're going to buy that product based on what redemptions are in the product.
I always felt like they can do this, and I don't understand why this doesn't get done. But when the checklist is released and when it comes out,
yep,
why not put redemptions in bold?
Yeah.
So you know. You go through the checklist and you're like, okay, that guy is a redemption, that guy's a redemption, that guy's a redemption. And you can tell. And you don't have to like put redemption on it. You can just say, hey, everything that's bold, those are redemptions. I know why they don't want to do that, because they don't want to deter people from buying the product. But you're just pissing people off.
Yep. And they've started using the language on the back that say this may contain redemptions that expire on 2 years after the release date of the product. They're starting to put that on the product. But I'm pretty sure back in 14, 15, 12, 13, 11, 12, whatever, they didn't have that language on the box. Right. And if you look at it this way, it's not, you know, I'm not backing up Panini, because I think honestly, deep down inside, I think they should just honor it, or at least have something in place where they give you something for it. And maybe they will. We'll give them time to talk about it after the pandemic. Hopefully they'll release a program. But what I think they should, you know, basically, what happens is they sell this out completely to us distributors, blah. So they've sold it out. They don't have it physically in their hands anymore. Now, Blowout might decide to hold onto it for 2 or 3 years. We may decide to hold onto a product for 2 or 3 years and not sell it. So that's where it gets tricky now, that they're not honoring expired redemptions. So that may force some products to maybe go down a little bit. So it might be a good thing in disguise. And I'm not saying that, you know, having expired redemptions is a good thing, but I'm saying like that those wax prices that get out of control because of supply and demand. If you find out 2 years from now that Zion's a redemption in something, well then, you know, there's going to be a mad rush to get that thing sold before the redemption's gone.
We just kind of went through this though. Like within the last couple of weeks, the 2018 Bowman had Luis Robert in there as a redemption.
Yep.
And I expected to see that product go down. It hasn't. Explain that.
Right.
Explain why that product did. I know Shohei's in there. I know Ohtani has his first auto. It's doesn't say Bowman first on it, but it's the one you want. And he can't be the main, I mean, he's not the main guy driving that product. It's Luis Robert right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But well, that's supply and demand.
But that product didn't go down. Because it didn't go down.
Because there's not a lot of supply.
And honestly, you pull a Luis Robert redemption, it's probably not going to get filled. There's no reason for it to get filled. They don't have to obligate that. They're not obligated to fulfill that redemption for you. It's expired.
Now, I'm seeing some comments in the chat. I mean, basically, I think Panini and Topps have tried to limit the amount of redemptions they can possibly do at this point. But, you know, when you got like Zion Williamson, you have to put a redemption in the product. You can't. Now, if it's like Cody Martin, who doesn't sign, or, you know, somebody, you know, Eric Pascal or something, they can maybe make the product without him. So, but when you're talking about drivers of sets, they have to put the redemption in there. Now, there's some great content in the chat. Busta said that, you know, they've sold through the product. So they're not selling the product after the redemption date, which is a good point. And then VGLN says, how can you sell something with an expiration date? And then when the date passes, say tough luck. That's extremes. That seems extremely anti-consumer. Well, I don't necessarily disagree. I also think, how many times are they chasing autos, right? How, like, at some point they're probably, and I'm not going to say they're in the red because things are good for them right now, but at some point they have like 700 to 800 cards that they need to be signed by one certain athlete times 500. Maybe there's 500 athletes that still need to sign. It's almost counterproductive for them to chase certain guys. It's almost counterproductive to get a guy that's out of the league to get to sign for you. So, you know what I mean? As a business, you can only try to get this guy to sign so many times. He signed. Now, these guys are contractually obligated to sign these cards prior to each release. But as you know, life happens. They're playing. They've got a wife. They've got kids. They don't have time to sign these cards. And Panini can't, you know, they have to try to chase them as well. So it's a tough situation on both sides, because at the end of the day, consumers are getting screwed. Consumers are missing out on that on card autograph or that card of said player that they pulled in that box. So, I mean, if it's me, I sell redemptions right when they pull, you know, out of my personal boxes. But I don't know. I don't know what you can do to solve this issue.
Well, I mean, you're going to see. Now, granted, there's certain players that need to be in products. The top rookies need to be in the product. Like, they can't release a basketball product and say, well, Zion's going to be a redemption in this. Just don't even put him in.
Right.
Replace him with points. You can't do that. They cannot release that product and not have Zion, not have Ja Morant, not have the top rookies. Now, when we do open up product, you see some late second rounders in there that are redemptions.
Right.
At that point, I'm like, why do this?
Yeah, there's certain guys who why.
But I think they do have an obligation with the Players Association and the league to include those players in there, regardless if those players are getting their autos back. I think those group of photo shoot players, both football and baseball, essentially have to be in every product.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall any football product or any basketball? Let's say football, because football is very cut and dry with the amount of players that they have out there. So is basketball, but football, we've actually done that event a lot more, so we have an idea of how it works. Do you recall any release in the recent, like, 3 to 4 years that did not have every rookie premier guy on the checklist?
No.
Almost guaranteed, right?
Right.
So that tells me that they have some type of contract that those players have to be included.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. On that sport, they have to be included. So maybe that's a PA thing. Maybe the PA is requiring to have all those rookie premier guys. So there's a rookie photo shoot for NBA and there's a rookie photo shoot for basketball or for football. So maybe baseball would be different. If they can't get Brian Reynolds, and they just don't have him, right? Because baseball is a PA. It's not run by the league as much. It's not licensed by the league. It's licensed by the Players Association. So I don't know. But it's crazy. It's good to talk about, and hopefully they come up with some kind of solution. Slugger had a good suggestion, saying that maybe they put on the redemption that you could, if a time expires and they have a certain point total they give you, which I know Panini points suck, but at least that's better than nothing. You know, that's a suggestion. So, but we are running a little late. We've got our makeup tribute, from the weekend, from tribute number 7 that we need to get into. So, we're going to go ahead and end the show. We'll be back, try to do another one this week, trying to get C-Rat in here to talk more Last Dance. So thank you guys for tuning into The Hype. Make sure you follow us at MojoBreak_com on Twitter and Instagram, as well as Facebook. And we're live every day. So, you know, you're at home, not doing anything, you want to get into a break, we've got all types of breaks, all different types of price points. You want to do personal boxes, we do those every Tuesday. If You want to do mini mixers, we have those. You want to do gigantic mixers. C-Rad just did a huge 40-box basketball where he pulled a gold Zion. He pulled ridiculous stuff over the weekend. I think two Luka Silvers out of one break. It was nuts. So we've got just something for everybody on our site, mojobreak.com. And follow us on all those social media outlets. And we will see you guys next week or maybe later this week. So once we get into our new location, we'll have a little bit more set schedule for social media, you know, and having this show. And once the shelter in place is lifted, we'll be back to a normal schedule. But we definitely enjoy doing this and miss having a regular show. Hopefully that changes soon, guys. Well, take care of yourselves. Be safe. And we'll see you guys next time on The Hype. Peace.
Later.